We are going to talk about accessible information around your health. Now, if you're blind and partially sighted, that is something which is vital. It could be letters from your doctor, your hospital, perhaps confirming appointments. It could be information booklets. And the accessible standard is there to give a degree of protection in terms of accessibility. But how successful has it been? Now, it's not UK-wide at the moment, but what we are going to do is talk to Mike Bell from Sight Loss Councils. They've been looking at the standard, the pros and the cons. Michael, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So the standard has been around for a little while now, and in theory, you know, it should be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So a load of work was done several years ago to get the NHS to introduce the accessible information standard. And the idea is that it specifies, it enables patients and users of NHS services to specify if they need to be contacted or communicated with in a certain way. So it might be that you want to be receiving your appointments via email instead of by letter, or that you need large print or braille. And in some cases, it might be that you've got other communication needs, such as you want information in easy read or British Sign Language if you've got a hearing impairment. So the standard was introduced 5 years ago, and it's the aim of it is to make sure that those needs are identified and then met by NHS services.
I would imagine that was quite a complex ask. When you think about the NHS, you know, doctors, surgeries, hospitals, all these associated services in there, perhaps using different IT systems, perhaps not communicating as well with each other, that must have been quite an uphill task at the beginning.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's why when the standard was finally agreed 5 years ago, NHS bodies were given plenty of time to get up to speed and to implement it. So years, in fact, to get through to implementation. And you're completely right. It's an incredibly complex system. So many NHS services operate differently, don't talk to each other very well. And that's why the standard really operated on quite a simple basis, which was that every time a patient interacts with a service, they should be asked if they've got any communication or information needs. They can then be recorded by the NHS and then action taken as appropriate to implement and communicate with that patient according to their preferences. So essentially, you would identify the need, you'd record it, and then you'd make sure that you were meeting the need in the communication. The problem is that on all of those steps, unfortunately, too many NHS bodies still aren't meeting the requirements of the standard.
You've been looking into this, you know, some shocking figures in here. And are there any reasons why this still is not across the board?
So we did some in-depth research with blind and partially sighted people, and we found as many as 90% of those with a visual impairment weren't having their communication needs met by the NHS. And it sort of fell down in different ways. So it would be that people would have to ask repeatedly for information in the format that they needed. It might be that they were asked what their requirements were, but then that wasn't properly recorded and implemented. And then we saw that translated from NHS bodies. So we asked more than 200 local NHS bodies what they were doing to implement the standard. And half of them didn't even have a policy in place at a local level. So to be honest, it's no wonder that they're struggling to meet them. And the excuses are usually around a lack of IT systems, a lack of understanding about the standard and how to implement it. And to be honest, 5 years in, that really doesn't wash.
Especially when you think about, as you say, the time that's been given here. And when you think about during a global pandemic, COVID, the information that was going out in terms of what to do in certain areas, do's and don'ts, or around testing, around using the testing kits themselves, that really should have been the litmus test to say, look how this works well. You know, if you're blind or partially sighted, you can get all that information in the standard you need, and including, you know, going for your regular appointments and so on. So that really was a kind of a real test of the system, but it sounds as if it fell down even before then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the approach has been struggling for many years, and it's one of those real postcode lotteries in terms of people's experience. So we absolutely have heard examples of GP practices and eye clinics that do a really good job, and they do try to find out about people's needs and meet them. But far too often, people, feel that they're banging their heads against a brick wall in terms of trying to get basic information in the format they need. And you're absolutely right. The COVID pandemic showed that in spades. You know, sight loss organisations like the Sight Loss Councils and RNIB and others had to battle the government in order to get just basic information communicated in an accessible way during the pandemic. It's just not good enough.
I suppose the next question, Mike, then is, what do you now do with the research you've gathered? How can this be improved?
So we're sharing it with NHS England and with all of the local NHS trusts and GP practices that we spoke to. What we're asking NHS England to do is to implement a proper review of the implementation of the standard and actually get everybody levelled up, to use the buzzword of the day. Get everyone levelled up to the performance of the best. Some trusts are doing a really good job, so it shows that it is possible, and the IT systems can be built to deliver. So what we want NHS England to do now is to maybe put their foot back down on the pedal and say, okay, we've given you plenty of time to implement this. Now we're going to hold your feet to the fire and make you stick to it. We want to see local NHS bodies have really good local policies in place, train their staff so that they understand what the accessible information standard is all about, and crucially, engage and listen to blind and partially sighted patients so that they can make sure that local systems are appropriate and accessible.
Indeed, and I'd probably say as well, perhaps, Mike, you know, if you are or have a disability or a sensory impairment, you know, always ask for that accessible information as well.
Absolutely, because the number one thing is, please do make sure that you contact your GP surgery, speak to your eye clinic, and frustrating as it can be sometimes to get through and to get action on your request, the starting point must always be for people to ask for things in the format that they need. Blind and partially sighted people have a right, you know, a legal right under the Accessible Information Standard to get their medical information in a format that they can access. And I would really encourage everyone to make sure that they're putting that ask into their health professionals and support staff.
Just finally, Mike, then, if people would like to find out more about this research or about the work of Sight Loss Councils, how can they do that?
So you can check out our website, which is sightlosscouncils.org.uk. There's lots of news and information on there about our accessible information campaign and some resources and template letters that you can use to contact your local GP or health clinic. And also an opportunity for you to challenge your GP surgery if they're not doing the job well enough. So please do check out our website and we'd be pleased to have your support.
Indeed. So let's get those changes made. Mike, for the moment, thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Great stuff. Thank you.